Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
As they say, it's all about the kids, Steve. It's all about the kids. And we're going to, again, you know, we're revisiting our favorite topic of AI because it's the gift that keeps on giving. But we're going to take a slightly different tack with it today. So I've been watching... Actually, just to start with, it's quite interesting that a lot of what you would consider to be an article that you would read about it is now turning into a form of YouTube video essay, effectively, where a lot of what you would get, again, like what you would read in an article or something like that, you get a lot of these things starting to show up now. I know it's a little side tangent to start with, but it's interesting that you get to see that sort of thing now happening, and that actually maybe in today's world, that's probably where it's more easily digestible in terms of getting the content across, maybe.
Well, yes, and let's face it, video is ubiquitous now. You know, a video file in terms of probably the amount of data and energy spent is less than a unit of AI. So why not just spit out the video?
Yeah, absolutely. And watch them while they are still human generated, I should point out.
That's right.
So anyway, we watched a couple of clips. Essentially, there were compilations of and commentary on how... basically kids' education, not so much the education itself maybe, but the way the kids are interacting with educational forums like going to school, etc., is becoming a lot more difficult, not obviously across the board, but there are a significant amount that are having attention issues and which is largely tied back to the fact that they're spending too much time on screens, going through endless lines of TikTok videos. And it's just becoming such an issue that you get a lot of teachers that are getting really frustrated that it's not even that the kids are rebelling or they're just refusing to cooperate like how you might have imagined in the past, you know, like with the way certain kids' behavior is, but also that it's literally not sinking in. My favorite components was when that teacher said, these kids have this alarming ability to have the information go through their eyes and through their hands onto the paper, and there's no registering of what actually they've seen or written down in the brain itself. Which, again, that's a long-winded way of saying this is what... And again, we'll probably start ranting about it, but it's like, this is what all this new technology is giving us, and it's not a good thing.
Well, yeah, exactly, especially if you consider that kids are the future. You know, yes, where do we go with this? Because the truth is that we're now effectively every wall or every direction we look in has a screen potentially, and you're being fed algorithmic based content. Let's not call it even information anymore, it's just content. And I think if you're young, how can you tell the difference between, you know, information and entertainment or infotainment or edutainment or whatever else it might be? Before long, it all becomes the same, and of course it just passes in through your eyes, and if you're lucky you might come back out through your mouth, but there's no room for learning. It's effectively at best rote learning.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no opportunity for it to sink in, for you to actually, because you're onto the next thing, which is, that's like the indicative of the doom scroll, you know, the never-ending doom scroll, because there's always another thing right behind it.
Exactly. But a lot of our early learning, and when I talk about early learning, probably, you know, from the ages of reception 5 through to 12, a lot of it is play-based, and that's because using your hands and your brain and other senses at the same time really bring together the learning environment that you require. You observe what you've done. There's a tangible aspect to moving stuff around or placing it. So you might be counting with blocks or making shapes, or holding a three-dimensional shape. That doesn't happen in a visual two-dimensional world, and it's taking out a huge chunk of learning and a huge amount of experimentation. Because the other thing about 2D screen-based learning is you can only learn what's on the screen. You can't play around with something and get a different outcome. So I think there's no question from an educational aspect, it's hugely limiting. If it's at its most effective, it's still hugely limiting for human potential.
Now, I was just thinking as a joke, you know, unless the metaverse comes off and then they can live in there in three dimensions or something. But anyway, I digress. And then there's this concept of like the iPad parents, which is they shove an iPad in front of a kid when they're misbehaving or being noisy, and that'll just shut them up, which is a extremely effective, very short-term solution, which has a lot of negative impacts, later down the track. And that was one of the things I thought was interesting was, you know, those videos where the kids were screaming or whatever, and then as soon as they got the iPad, the smile came back, and then it all just, all the tears vanished, etc. But that's kind of classic. Not that, you know, I can speak too much to parenting, not being one, but it's like, you don't allow if you facilitate an environment where the tantrums are allowed to be gotten away with, then that ends up breeding, you know, a monster effectively, in the sense that they won't be able to respond appropriately. It's that that key element of learning that you don't always get what you want. So just get on with it, and eventually the kids will adapt to that kind of environment. But then if you combine everything we've just talked about so far with the fact that they're being placated with a screen, in terms of trying to, you know, cajole behavior or whatever, it just sort of like compounds a lot. And I know that the sources for the videos we watched were from America, which might have actually even made, you know, that whole, the sample size may have made it seem even worse. It was like that idea that, a generation of parents are wanting to be friends with their kids as opposed to being parents of their kids and all that sort of stuff. And mixing all of this together is just like exacerbating the whole thing. And to tie it back to AI, which we were saying, which we'll get to in a bit more detail shortly, was that example of the kid that said, why do I have to read this book? The AI can read it for me. And that's where you start to go, all right, where are we at right now?
Well, where are we at? Because really the kid's got a point. Yeah, that's right. But I guess it comes back to what most people would remember with the, you know, learning to add up before you use a calculator. You know, increasingly I think we see written literature, books, under threat, because you can just watch a movie. Let's not comment about whether the movie would be better or worse, but you could just watch a movie, or, you know, you could listen to an audio book. Neither of which are the same experience actually reading a book and thinking about the book as you read it. It's very subtle, but I think it's one of those things. And you know, more and more, as I say, we're just being surrounded and bombarded by content in every direction. And, you know, there's good reason for audiobooks. There's good reason to have, you know, articles read to you. But when it becomes the only option, and let's make no mistake, that's the way Amazon would love it, where are we headed?
Absolutely. And that's probably a good place to do the back of the book here on an AI topic in terms of where big tech is. Because just picking up on that, what you would call more analog, more old school type of activities that still have value in a more highly technological world, and you still would have a place for them. And it would seem that big tech is trying to push down the line, and I guess Sam Altman said it himself, that AI is just going to do all this for you and it's just going to be great. And that's the part that I think there has to be a reckoning on that at some point. That, you know, I've been listening to a lot of tech podcasts recently where a certain variation of the same theme that I keep hearing is maybe the bubble really does need to burst, because, you know, some of this, you know, the air needs to be let out of the tires of some of these types of attitudes. And that might be right, because, you know, after, you know, when they've had tech bubbles burst in the past, you know, the core technology kind of remained and then became something that was useful afterwards, which is probably what has to happen here. But like this article that you sent through to me, it would appear that it's going through that phase where they're going to consolidate into like the big three or big four tech companies, you know, like Apple striking this deal with Google to put Gemini, well, power basically Siri with Gemini large language models. All of that's just sort of like claiming real estate. And just like it has in every other instance in the past, when the new technologies come in, the big players come in, they take it all over and they squeeze out anyone that was, you know, sort of mid-tier or just working on the site. You'd have to question whether OpenAI is going to do well out of this at the end, because, you know, you can't compete with, you know, Apple's, you know, hardware prowess and combining it with the software. Google's got all of the search data and the dominant market position in search, etc. And, you know, Microsoft, yeah, we, you know, have a good laugh about Microsoft from time to time, but they're up there. They're in, they've got, their software runs on the majority of, PC platforms, etc. They've got a lot of, interactive components there with their 365 apps, etc. So you can't dismiss that either. And that is kind of leading to this concentration up at the top. Will that end up leading to that bubble, or where they then end up just coming out with, oh yeah, we're the ones that have got it and we're just going to run with it going forward after that? And are they going to learn any lessons from everything that we've just discussed, and including everything we may have ever discussed in previous episodes on the topic?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. It's a high-stakes game, isn't it? So from Sam Altman's position, if the obstacle between you and, $1 trillion payday is, you know, the fact that AI, no one wants to pay for it, or it's not going to work out, you're still going to talk it up. Outside of that, and I mean, the reality is ChatGPT is just an app. You know, Apple's got the hardware, Google's got the internet, you know, Alexa's got retail, Microsoft has Windows. So, you know, between those guys, they've got everything stitched up. And then when you look at who's left, say maybe those four players in the AI stakes, it's not particularly good if that's the font of all of our knowledge.
Mm.
It's pretty narrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I was just wondering, you know, like, I was having, and I know I've spoken about this before, just reminiscing about the good times, you know, during the late 2000s, 2010s period, where there was kind of that shift in technology towards mobile devices, I guess, for lack of a better term, where all of it, a bit like the early internet, where a lot of this seemed yielded this extraordinary promise of what it could do for us. And there was a positivity around it until it went into a bit of a downward slide, towards the end of the decade. And now one could argue the course of this decade, it's hard to be optimistic about a lot of these things based on how it is. And it just doesn't seem to be it seems like one's feeding the other, you know, like the way we're using it, then combined with the way, big tech have seen certain opportunities, for lack of a better word. It's just essentially crapifying the whole thing and the whole experience when it really didn't need to be, you know?
Totally agree. AI started as far back as 2010 or 2011. Google came out then and said they were an AI company, not a search company. And, the algorithms, although you wouldn't technically call them AI, they work to connect you, if you're online, with content. And content that somebody has paid for you to see, to get a reaction from you that somebody wants you to have. That's very controlling. In fact, some people would even call that coercive. Now, that's just, we've been on a linear path from there since for the last 15 or 16 years, and this is where we've arrived. And AI is just an extension of this. It's just next level of what we've seen over the last 10 years. And where has the world gone in the last 15 years? It's gone from being stable, you know, largely peaceful, to now polarized, conflicted, you know, wars where typically we wouldn't expect them. And, you know, also what's making worse is dividing societies that used to be relatively, I guess, calm and I guess, I'm not sure what the word is, but settled. And now everyone's unsettled and everyone's looking for a fight. So we're distracted, we're stressed, and the cost of living is going through the roof. I don't think this is all unrelated.
Absolutely. Well, perhaps to finish up, we'll end with the positive note of, you know, we talked about it all being about the kids. Maybe it's the kids that are going to show the way. Just to leave us or to see us out of this particular episode today was that there was that comment of maybe the Zoomers in this case may have learned something that they may be seeing the effect of the previous 15, 20 years of what's been happening in the culture, and that they're actively engaging in behaviors that are ironically a lot of what we would say would be recommended in terms of going old school on this sort of stuff. And don't underestimate that, you know, these things go in cycles and that generations have a way of pushing back on these things. And that's the only hope that I can have. Otherwise, it's Wall-E and, you know, I don't know, it'll be like the Mad Max wasteland, those two things combined together.
Yeah, well, I like to think the way you do. And if there's anything in this, I think with the internet having sped everything up so much, hopefully we get to the end of this trend as quickly as possible when it's replaced by people seeing something better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we're going to finish up there. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.